You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey, it's Chris Spangle, the host of We Are Libertarians, and I'm here to tell you about our advertiser for this month, and it is the Jason Stapleton Program. Jason is a good friend of our show and has been the only guy that we've let buy advertising on our program. You know that we're not really big on paid advertisements, but we believe in what Jason does on a daily basis. He does what we do. He examines current events from a libertarian perspective, and he does it 5 days a week. Go check out Jason's podcast at iTunes. Check out his YouTube channel. It is amazing. His video setup is just so beautiful and professional. Jason is just professional. You know, he's everything that we're not. So visit jasonstapleton.com. You won't be disappointed. It's a highly engaging program, and he's a great guy. And we at We Are Libertarians love Jason, and we want you to love him too. So please go to jasonstapleton.com and check out his program. Download his podcast, check out his YouTube, and visit jasonstapleton.com. Shit round of applause. Do better. I had just had to have my Bittner moment. Please clap. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week, live at Morty's Comedy Joint. We are in, we are here in a crowd of tens and tens of people. Thank you all for
of our listenership.
Yeah, thank you all for coming out. Always to my left, but maybe not tonight. Is Greg Lenz.
I am on your alt-right.
On my alternate right. And then Tyler Weiss. Weiss.
Every time.
I know. I don't know how to say your name.
I know. Nobody. Just call me Tad.
Tad? Okay.
Tad Western.
Why did you change your name on Facebook to Tad Western?
Got drunk one night and just decided to change my name. Yeah, I can't change it back for like 4 months
or
something.
Yeah, you're screwed now.
They don't let you change it back for 30, 40 days?
40 days.
40 days, wow. That's almost as good as the time that you got kicked off.
60 when you're dead.
Right, yeah. Jesse Riddle played one of the greatest pranks ever without knowing what he did.
Yeah.
So it used to be Greg Lenz on Facebook, and now
there
it is.
There still is a Greg Lenz.
Right.
Memorial
yeah.
page.
Yeah, I don't know how you got it back.
I had to send in all my stuff that I'm alive.
And so Greg got banned for a short period of time on Facebook as Greg Lenz for which meme?
No, it was for that Brian Kill. I got banned. I got banned for cyberbullying the guy that threatened to blow up a mall.
Right. So we grew up in Plainfield, and there was this guy who was threatening to blow up the Plainfield school, the Plainfield mall. And so Greg thought that he'd perform a public service and started bullying Brian Kill on the internet.
Until he reported me for cyberbullying.
He reported you, and you got kicked off of Facebook, but not him.
I did, because the police wanted to have somebody to track.
Right.
But not me, apparently. Right. You know, that's the way it goes. Trying to save America.
So during your ban on Facebook and Messenger, Jesse Riddle did what?
He reported me dead.
He just thought it'd be funny.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did. And so funny, Jesse.
You have 48 hours to report that you are actually alive, and you were unable to fulfill that, so you died.
I died.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Should we talk
like
about
Harambe.
Should we talk about how you two met?
How Tyler and I met?
How Tyler and yourself became friends.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if that's appropriate,
Facebook?
Though.
Is it?
Is it appropriate?
No.
It's an ongoing federal investigation.
See, we have lost all track of what is decent and right in society at this point. Where we at least once a day we look at each other and go, "Was that normal?"
Well, like if they,
hell,
had,
if I know,
if they had found Lauren Spear, I think it'd be fine.
Right.
But I think by talking about it and you know all the all the eerie ways she's popped up in his life for real. I think it's a bit...
So anyways, so Aaron is Tyler's cousin, and we were put into a group chat, and you were talking about it. You decided
to air it out
that you would give him an introductory Russell, right?
Yes. No.
No, I was introduced to the group, and...
Aaron said, do your best.
Do your best.
Brutalist group or something. But, so I, you know... solicited some gay sex for Greg on Craigslist.
Would you like to clarify that, Greg?
It was interracial gay sex.
I didn't think that mattered, but...
And it was Craigslist, and I'm classy, and I would only get on Grindr.
But I photoshopped a picture and
photoshopped a male phallus,
yeah,
as large as one could conceive.
It a lot like Aria Torres's.
Oh, she's gonna kill you. And posted it on Craigslist and
with my phone number.
You got some phone calls.
Did you?
No, because I fought back before I got a call. Or so, apparently I'm not that appealing to African-American homosexuals.
Well, they're
in
more,
the Broad Ripple area, right?
That's, I guess.
They're generally more of a gym type. So how did you fight back?
Greg got me.
Well, I spent about 30 minutes taking pictures of Tyler and then all the pictures I could find of Lauren Spear at college parties. And then Photoshop Tyler into every picture, and then got on Facebook and was going to send a message to her page, her memorial page, and like the search page saying, "These are from the night she disappeared. You might want to look into this individual." Except I didn't send it. I just screenshotted it.
You had it on the fax machine and said you have 10 minutes
to
take
Aaron,
that off of Craigslist.
Yeah, Aaron, tell your cousin that needs to come down off Craigslist right now, or else all of a sudden he's going to find out that he's going to be detained.
So it was pretty much from there on out, it's just been...
been love.
Yeah, we don't make memes of each other anymore.
Mutual respect.
Yeah. Right.
Mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, destruction. Yeah,
Tyler's part of the Brutalist group. We're going to talk a little bit about the alt-right tonight as that has popped up. Tyler is a meme maker extraordinaire, and as is Greg. Greg, if you've seen my new profile picture, I have become an ANCAP, according to my profile picture.
Pure leader.
Yeah, so I've got black and yellow, so now I can... I'm the most right person in the room. My opinion is superior to all others. And you're all just going to have to eat it. Is that
different than what we've always done?
Shut up. You made that in a matter of 10 minutes at dinner at Bonefish Grill.
Well, everyone else was talking amongst their friends.
Right.
I got sat with the awkward table where I didn't know anybody. And so they're feeling not included. So the
now by awkward, he meant he had to sit next to Bittner.
Well, no, but you guys weren't talking to me. I felt obligated to talk to the people we didn't know.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because they had made the comment, well, it's like there's a wall up. Because you guys were talking amongst yourselves.
Well, I actively had turned my back to them.
Yes.
You
were outright hostile.
I don't know them.
Well, you're supposed to meet new people.
Don't need new people. I don't need new people in my life.
Some of us would beg to differ.
Yeah. I'm trying to prune people out.
Okay.
Anything happening out there? You guys okay?
No.
Is this thing on?
Is he all right?
So the
so
alt-righter.
Cat hair on this microphone, I swear. I'm going to have a hairball.
So memes are really hot right now, is what we're saying. Memes are so hot. I'm even wearing a meme on my shirt. It's the Kraken, the Catton, where the cat is taking.
Is that from when you went to the Internet Cat Festival?
It is. I wore this to the Internet Cat Festival.
I remember that very well.
Yeah, don't knock this shirt.
I remember that was the night your hymen grew back.
Quite the opposite, my friend.
Ooh,
Christy, don't you like this shirt?
Oh, it's so sexy.
See, she said it's very sexy. So I went to her because she's a sure thing. in terms of a compliment, not, you know, blowjobs. Damn.
Well, all right.
Did I say something or what? Thank you, Christy, for bringing not for blowjobs.
For the blowjob?
No, but for bringing three friends. Christy, why don't you just come up here, have a seat. Give a big round of applause to our super fan. Now, Christy is the biggest fan of We Are Libertarians. Would you say that that's accurate? Into the mic here. There you go. Leave the phone alone. We'll get the selfie later. I know what you're doing.
Later.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't know what's going to happen later. I'm
telling
I'm
you, this
scared.
Shirt is a pussy magnet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think my hymen just grew back.
Oh...
Yahtzee.
Well, you won. The audience hasn't liked a thing we've said, but Woo! You apparently are gold. Now, you were just at Fump Fest. Right?
I heard you guys talked about it. I haven't listened to the show yet.
Yeah, on Bob and Tom, and she donated the sponsorship money. So I don't know if you knew this, we were actually sponsors of Fump Fest.
You told me, you said that we were sponsors so much as that she subsidized it and we took credit.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Well,
very libertarian, individual responsibility.
Now that's what we do
here. Even brought you the poster with your little advertisement on it.
Little advertisement.
It's huge, though.
You got spangled.
I have a very large. I have no problem in that area, in terms of advertisements.
Okay.
Now, so thank you for doing that. So it looked like a very fun time, and
it
was. Fump Fest is what?
Fump stands for the Funny Music Project, and it's new comedy music put out at least twice a week on the website, thefump.com. And
that's Fump. Fump.com.
F-U-M-P.
Oh, F.
Now, you actually have a radio show there, don't you?
I have a radio show on dementiaradio.org, yes. It's on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. I don't even know what time my show is.
You're really great at this.
I'm not a self-promoter. I'm sorry.
You need to be a Lukeski. That's for your Fump friends.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm doing jokes for just one person in the room.
That is awesome.
Fump humor.
Well, it's me, so of course you should do jokes just for me. But anyways, Fump Fest is a gathering of comedy musicians. If you're a fan of the Bob and Tom show, Tim Cavanaugh was there. Paul and Storm were there. And actually, Storm fell down some stairs and broke his thumb. And screwed up his knee. And he plays guitar, so it was before their concert. And they're the guests of honor, so they're the big draw. And one of them, like,
one of them is in a full-body cast. Hilarious.
And he played the show okay, and then I guess the next day his knee was swollen up bigger than his thigh. So hopefully he's going to be all right.
Why did you tell that story? That's so sad. Comedy.
But he was a trooper, and he did the show, and they were awesome.
Paul and Storm sing one of my favorite songs. You do
Which
it.
One?
You get stuck in your head. Enormous penis.
That's
I take
not
a look
Paul
at my
enormous.
It's Da Vinci's Notebook, which is the
notebook.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I take
thing.
A look at my enormous penis, and the world starts. I forget the rest.
So that's all he cares about is the enormous tune?
For
the enormous penis part.
Bringing the most people to the event, I just start picking books up for you because
I haven't read the last one yet.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Spanking City Hall.
Spanking City Hall. Yeah.
I have a job where I can read books.
This
now,
one's nonfiction.
No.
Yeah. Okay. This is not this
unlike
is,
that one.
None of this is made up. Unlike Spanking City Hall, where not a word of it is true, except the part where she was a dominatrix that. Never mind. I'm trying to avoid lawsuits.
What is this book about? Ooh, Mary Ruart.
This is okay. Healing Allegedly. Our World in an Age of Aggression.
I hear that's a good book.
Thanks to our friends at the Advocates for Self-Government for giving this to us.
Thanks, Chloe.
Yeah, not Bittner. Chloe.
Never Bittner. And actually, he's not here, so I beat him because
do you
I've
think?
Been here
and
every
go
time.
Ahead and get your not camera him. Ready. I know you want the selfie.
Oh my gosh.
Now, can we talk about Chloe?
What about her?
Well,
no.
Do you think we
not
can
yet.
We mention that yet?
No.
All right.
Not
I
yet.
Really want to.
We will, but it's not
And the
time.
More you say, no, I shouldn't talk about that, the more
no,
I want
No, she's still got 6 months left, so we shouldn't talk about that.
It's rehab. There you go. thank you, everybody. Give a big round of applause.
Thank
to
you, Chris.
I'll give you the banner later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, are you okay?
You just pulled a pollen storm or whatever.
If you fall and break, then Bowers has to give We Are Libertarians an insurance settlement. I think that's the deal we signed with them. she fell and hurt her knee, and I've got a neck brace on her. so should we talk about the alt-right?
I don't know. I feel like this is not going to go well.
I'm cranky.
You are.
I'm.
You don't like the guys that literally, like, they are the OG meme boys of the internet that are toxic and divisive, and all of a sudden you're just throwing that label off like it's not yours.
It's not. It's society at large. I'm single. Spangle gets very cranky after a certain period of time. yeah. Thank you, Jim. He knows what I'm talking about.
It's an uplifting podcast.
I just get very... I'm like, I hate libertarians, so you're a Republican. No, I hate them more, so you're a Democrat. No, they're even worse. I start getting cranky with everyone.
I'm an authoritarian.
I'm a Chris.
You're
going to
bake the fucking cake, and you're going to like the cake, okay?
I held an AR... NAR-17? What are
you
they
pointed
called?
Both of them at me, actually.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
held
you went full Columbine.
Mass destruction.
He had good trigger discipline, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the alt-right, Hillary actually made a brilliant move this past week or two or whatever. Hillary hasn't made very many brilliant moves in terms of political strategy this year because it's so opposite of what normally goes on, but she painted the alt-right as the soldiers for Trump, mm-hmm. which they largely are.
They created meme magic.
But she essentially legitimized this movement of internet trolls in an effort to paint them as, you know, all the racism that is found in alt-right memes and on 4chan.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do. Well, if you don't know what I mean, then you're too far gone.
I know what you mean.
There's no saying.
Are you trying to say Hitler did something wrong?
I see nothing wrong. Well, then lift up the hood so you can hear.
Everybody loves a good Klan reference.
Well, get ready. Buckle up. I got a lot. I did a lot of research on the Klan for this.
Did you now?
I was on Klan websites today.
No, you weren't.
Oh, absolutely. I was at work. Did you know that you can get a Klan robe for $130 from the national headquarters?
Really?
Deliverable 4 to 6 weeks.
A Klan room?
A Klan robe.
Oh, a robe.
Yeah.
How much?
$130. Why do you want to know?
I was saying that's high. It's a sheet.
The point is that you can. I had this question in my mind the other day. I thought.
I wonder
did
how
they
much
Klan
rope
own?
Is.
Yeah. But it basically...
Are they tailored?
I went to this Klan website, and it basically read like 4chan.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that more. The audience apparently does not care. I'm giving you all my best Klan material. Okay?
Was this at work?
Work with us here. So the alt-right, she legitimized this political movement, which I don't think is a movement. It's just basically a bunch of... virgins posting on 4chan and Reddit some Pepe memes, and that doesn't make it a political movement, does it? So explain what the alt-right is.
I'll let Tyler start it off.
I have no idea what the alt-right is, honestly.
Oh, you really don't?
No, I have no idea.
That's why you're here. You're supposedly the alt-right expert.
You're the one that's supposed to know.
I have no idea. I see people post alt-right this, alt-right that. I have no idea what the hell it is.
But you're bathing in it. It's Pepe memes, Dat Boy memes.
If memes are
it's not Pepe memes and that boy memes.
It's that boy memes and Pepe memes.
No, it's that those
it's
memes came
of
out.
Hillary pooping her pants.
Incontinent Hillary.
Well, that's true though.
Right. See? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, there's a Getty image of her getting on an airplane and she has a shit stain on the back of her light pink pantsuit.
Well, that's just sad.
Incontinent Hillary. You know Trump's probably not going to want to do breaks during the debates because he's hoping she'll shit her pants on stage.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, I did. But it'd be a good rumor to start. No. No, the alt-right is a group of people that they're internet trolls. They're international and they are on 4chan and 8chan, but they became legitimate political mover. They're a legitimate political trend or group of messengers that are very loud in an otherwise boring conservative right-wing messaging outlet. I mean, really, the messengers of the right are Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh to an extent, Glenn Beck, and they all preach the same gospel, just varying degrees, and it's pretty dead. It's been dead for a while, and these guys are the new young mean boys of the internet, and they're unafraid of being called racist, bigoted homophobes. They don't care about it whatsoever. They say, okay, sure, whatever. All right, what's next?
Yeah. They actually welcome it. The point is to be the most offensive.
Well, the point is that they don't believe that that's credible, real, or means anything, and so they mock it by owning it.
Being called racist doesn't mean it. I mean,
no, there's only one race, human race.
Okay, I don't disagree, but racism, to say that racism doesn't exist is
there's
not
cultural
true.
Differences. Like, you know, like cultural Marxism, like there was a great article today on the Daily Caller, and the article was about how white males of roughly 21 to 35 are 45, are tired of being told they're the reason for all the inequality, the wrongness that exists in society.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the natural response to all the years of being told they need to embrace, you know, diversity, affirmative action, inclusiveness, you know, just thing after thing after thing. It's, you know, cultural Marxism is the invasion of other cultures into an existing culture.
So essentially along the lines of, well, if I'm going to get called this anyways, I might as well mock it.
Yeah, they're going to call me that no matter what right. I say, so I might as well just own it rather than attend, spend the little time I have explaining it.
It's very Alinskyite in terms of marginalizing your opponent by mocking them.
Exactly, and then right. the word doesn't mean anything, and then they have nothing to hurl except bad ideas.
Right, but when you say the N-word, ironically...
That's the one that isn't...
doesn't lose its power.
That's not the one that gets tossed around.
Yeah, the F word for our homosexual friends.
A bundle of sticks, if you will.
Right, small cigarettes. They use that. That's almost a term of endearment.
Oh, that's like so. Milo Yiannopoulos, for mm-hmm. he's the tech editor for Breitbart. He has been going on a tour to college campuses across the United States, really trying to stoke the flames of the restrictions on free speech that have been going on.
Sure.
You know, the idea after the University of Missouri and the safe spaces that were needed for African American or black students. And so Milo started a speaking tour, and it is named the Dangerous Faggot Tour. And that's what they, you know, they right. essentially called him. He went to University of Pittsburgh. They started crying. There were students that were crying that were interviewed. He went to Yale and gave a speech in full American headdress and said, yes, I am.
Like an Indian.
Yeah, yes, I am a Christian, Jew, homosexual.
Excuse me, Native American.
Yeah. He said, you know, he opens the speech by saying, yes, I am a Christian, Jew, homosexual, you know, Jewish in origin, not in practice. Sure. And that loves black cock. In full Native American
not
headdress.
Not Black Hawk, like the team.
Yeah.
Black Cock.
That yeah. can't get right. All right. He wasn't like headgear.
Right.
Yeah, he's in headgear.
He's in headgear. He's
speaking to the right. Yale senior class. Like that's or well for their political union. And so that's what he does. Is he? It's incendiary. It is a. It's a natural response to people that are tired of being told they're the reason that poverty exists or inequality exists or that slavery happened or that. Yada, 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 yada,
well,
yada.
Well, working in the comedy industry, a lot of comedians won't do college tours anymore because
they
it's,
can't
too
take it.
It's too restrictive.
Oh, it's eggshells, man.
Yeah.
Free speech on college campuses has never been less practiced.
Right.
You know, I applaud, you know, Purdue University. Mitch Daniels has done a really good job of fighting back against that. And George Will wrote an article applauding Mitch for that.
University of Chicago just said, there's no safe spaces here. Grow up.
Yeah.
Let's continue to define the alt-right before we get into motivations.
Sure.
Further. So is it my perception of it is that it is just a bunch of nerds that live in their mom's basement that are making memes and posting them onto 4chan all day. And they go on and they try to outdo each other. So there's a contest to see who can be the most offensive. And somehow that has turned itself into some sort of movement.
Well, I mean, it's not a movement.
Is that it? I mean,
this has been brewing for a while.
Yeah.
Like, the origins of this are in Europe.
And like Milo Yiannopoulos wrote a Breitbart article about the origins of, what's the title of that article? A Guide to the Alt-Right Movement?
Yeah, an Establishment's Conservative's Guide to the Alt-Right Movement. But right. I mean, this has been happening for a long time.
But my point is that he tries to argue that there's intellectual underpinnings to this, and there just isn't. Like H.L. Mencken, these guys who are making Trump memes have never heard of H.L. Mencken or Oswald Spengler. They don't know what those guys
did
for conservatism.
Do.
I don't believe you. You're wrong.
You got to get on there. I'm telling you. I go on there all the time. That's where I get ideas for half. That's my you know, that's my meme den.
It's your meme studio.
Well, I mean, they're hilarious. They have great ideas, and they're sharp as can be. Mm-hmm. You know, just witty as all get out. But yeah, they take on controversial ideas and issues. But that's because they believe in freedom of speech.
Right.
That's because they aren't going to ignore Mein Kampf like Germany did for their history and not allow it and ban it because they think that people aren't strong enough to have the ability to critically think and say, even though we disagree with it and it was a horrible atrocity, we're still not going to pretend it doesn't exist or else it might happen again.
Sure. Okay, I can buy into that argument because that's the problem with the base word of university is, you know, a universal search for truth, everything flows together, liberal arts degree, science, it all kind of meshes together. And when you start segmenting out pieces of history that are not allowed to be discussed, then that's the opposite of what a university education is supposed to be about.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point is to be able to accept an argument and choose, you know, understand the logic behind it and then choose to disagree with it. But right. you have the choice. Because you have that liberal arts education and that training, the ability to critically think, you can understand your opponent's argument to a T.
Yeah.
What makes you different than someone that's ignorant or is that you are able to say, well, I understand it, that isn't correct based on these principles, and that is why I reject it and why it isn't right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we don't have enough of. It's the two sides don't even understand the arguments anymore.
Well, Ron Sexton, who's a comedian friend of mine, talked about his comedic hero, Tim Wilson, and he talked about how he wrote comedy, and he taught Ron to write comedy by taking your firm beliefs, your firmest held beliefs, and arguing against
it. Yeah.
And that is, Tim Wilson was one of the smartest men that ever lived. If you've never heard Tim's comedy, you should look it up. He's great. And I think that's important. And libertarians really should.
We are that. That's everything we believe.
Not necessarily. Not on my Facebook page, we're not. Instead of evaluating what William Weld says, we're just going off of memes from Liberty Hangout and spam headlines.
The thing, I mean,
instead of truly understanding what he was trying to say and how he was trying to say it, everybody else says this guy's bad, so now I need to get on my Facebook page and share this meme. Shut up.
If you don't sign the petition idiot. To have William Weld step down as vice presidential candidate,
yeah,
then you're Hitler.
Right. So
everyone I don't like is Hitler.
There is this anti-intellectualism that even creeps into the libertarian movement.
Well, the thing is, though, their argument isn't being heard either. It's being dismissed.
Right.
They have a legitimate criticism, and it's not a traditional libertarian
who
argument.
Does?
The Radical Caucus and the people who make it, they're just making it in a way that isn't good. You know, they're not making it in a way that's a private conversation with William Weld to get him to, you know, they want a private meeting where William Weld says, listen, I believe this, but I'm trying to win votes. I'm a political animal.
Right.
I don't have the luxury of purity I'm on CNN.
Maybe September, 2 months before the election, is not the best time to have that discussion. It was last May.
Right, and it was, but you can't right. meet with everybody. The problem
is December.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature. That William Weld is, you know, I highly doubt that if he's actually a libertarian and believes it, he believes like that, like Gary wants to force Anne Frank to make a cake.
Right.
You know, they don't. It's just that is the reality of the beast. They are political actors in a political system that it's winner takes all. It's majority.
But the memes are actually pretty powerful because the bake the cake thing mm-hmm. that Austin set up in the has subsisted, and that single-handedly drives. You know, you can agree with Gary Johnson 99% of the time, but somebody says bake the cake, and you go, "Well, that's where I'm out. Well, I'm not going to vote for the guy that I agree with 99% of the time because we agree on disagree on one issue. And I need to vote for someone who's 100% with me because I am always right." I can say this now and I can criticize because I have a black and yellow profile picture. So, but I find as I just hate the anti-intellectual lack of critical thinking that is embodied in that kind of...
You don't like the shock and awe behind it?
No. I'm saying I don't like the opinions of others. It just seems to...
That's arguably the most unlibertarian thing you could possibly say.
I'm for thought.
As a libertarian. I don't like the opinions
control.
Of others.
I'm for thought control. I'm not for thought control. I'm for speech control.
Mandatory education.
You should listen.
Yeah.
No,
I know what you mean. It's tough.
Yeah, like, not everybody is... Social media has allowed everyone to think that their opinion matters.
And it does, in a democracy.
Everyone in our audience, here and listening, your opinion is valid.
Right. It's the flaw of democracy.
Right. But not everybody's opinion counts.
Not everybody, the collective will isn't going to lead to the best outcome. Like,
right.
The ideal is, like, that's why we have a republic. It's you have representatives who ideally suited are to being the best and the brightest and leading the government in the right policies and knowing what's right that are elected by the masses. That's
right.
The stop, that's supposedly the preventor from mob rule. Now, we all know, in time, all systems, you know, mm-hmm. trend towards, I guess, the Peter principle, the idiots rise to the highest level, but... You know, that's just the nature of the beast, is that it's not the best system. It's just the safest bet against authoritarianism.
I think what I'm struggling with this election cycle more than anything else is that this is the first truly social election cycle that we've had for president. You know, in 2012, you still had social media, but it's like people are more skilled at it now. They're more entrenched now, and they're more comfortable now, and they're using it to the full advantage of what you can do with these tools. And we all while it is a great thing that everybody has the ability to start a website and a podcast, and you know, 4 years ago, think that your opinion is worthy of being listened to. I mean, the market has proven that We Are Libertarians has some traction. I mean, there's at least 10 people here that think we're right. The other five, not as much. But
Josh Featherstone right now is touching his chin, looking like he's pondering whether or not that's right.
So what I'm struggling with is that, I have 10 years of political experience. You have spent a lot of time thinking about these issues. A lot of people that you know, like Abdul, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Abdul is a friend of the show, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, local pundit. Here's a guy who has lived, breathed, and worked in politics for 20 years. And a guy, Uncle Morty, who gets on his face. Let's not say Morty because we're at Morty's Comedy Joint. I don't want to spurge them. Let's say Uncle Larry gets on his Facebook page, and he's a God-fearing Christian conservative who thinks that Colin Kaepernick should have stood up for the anthem or whatever he didn't do. Like, he thinks his opinion is as valuable as Abdul's opinion, and they're not. Like, Abdul is somebody that should be listened to, even if you don't agree with him. He has access and information that a lot of people don't. But Uncle Larry thinks that his opinion is just as informed and just as right as Abdul's, and it's not. And so there's just a lot of noise in this election cycle that I haven't really experienced in other election cycles. And quite frankly, the alt-right is a lot of noise with a lack of... You're finding intellectual value in it, great, but I don't see it.
No, not. It's not that I think that they're, you know, the next thought leaders of the libertarianism and the right, you know, the right. It's that
don't think that the alt-right has anything to do with libertarianism. Nationalism...
They're voting for Gary Johnson.
Libertarianism and nationalism cannot coexist.
They're voting for Gary Johnson.
Great. So is Mitt Romney, but that doesn't make him a libertarian.
I think you're missing the point, though. They're pushing back just super far against the left.
Trying to push the Overton window.
Yeah, just trying to troll the shit out of them.
To what? Like,
it's obviously working. They're on the front page of Google
News.
But
to what end? Like, so that I can say faggot whenever I want?
No,
like that's the ultimate.
I don't think
goal.
They have a goal. I think
like,
they're looking.
It's okay
for
if
a goal.
I wear this Klan hood. I'm wearing it ironically. But like, what's the end goal of such?
You're
a movement?
Culturally appropriating my racism, and I don't appreciate
right.
it.
Like, I'm just saying, what's the value of the alt-right? It's about their emotions and their feelings, and your feelings. Like the Republicans and conservatives forever, and libertarians have said. Liberals and their feelings have no place in politics. But then as soon as they get their own feelings, like, yeah, I like that meme. It makes me feel good because liberals are crying. Like, quit being a hypocritical fuckstick.
Well, I mean, that's
a political term. I'll teach it to you later.
That's such a high bar to set. I mean, if you think about it, like...
What?
Have you ever heard that don't feed the trolls?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to. And now
I don't
that
know. Morty's gave me tachos earlier.
Yeah.
Now that they've become legitimized in some sort, it's just going to be...
Yeah.
Well,
now they're going to start forming groups and movements, and they're going to try and be political power.
These movements have been around forever, though.
Right.
These movements started when the colonial European countries started having mass Muslim immigration.
Right.
I mean, this started as a very white, ethnocentric, you know... That's what it is. It's been around.
Right.
That's
white, ethnocentric,
they believe,
national pride.
Right.
You know, where are we heading? Off in the distance of the future, Greg. What's the end result of such a white nationalistic
movement?
I don't
know what you're implying.
Oh, I think you do.
I don't know the fiction you've been reading on the internet, but that's not what I've read. No. What I'm implying is that everything's a result of cultural change.
Right.
This all started as a result of cultural change. The downfall of the empires in the European countries and their colonial power was that it set up systems where there was mass immigration and what people's lifestyles and what they got used to, the neighbors they got used to seeing, instead of being the working class and the aristocracy in the middle, like, you know, the merchant class, all of a sudden there was a whole new segment. all of a sudden it was, you know, the cultural term, the Browning of France. It was in Germany taking in Islam and Western civilization were inevitably going to clash because of colonialism. It was going to happen. They were going to come to pursue new opportunities. They were going to bring with them their cultures. They come from war-stricken areas. They were going to bring their families, and they were going to be forced to flee in order to not be killed. And so it's inevitable that when societies are for whatever reason are put, I guess, involuntarily. You know, it was more of an issue.
But it's
of,
not involuntarily.
It is like for the people that live there.
Like, I'm surrounded by Chin, the largest collection of Burmese outside of Burma.
Right.
Like, they didn't get forced into the apartment complex next to me.
No.
They moved there, and they have their own. It is a multicultural area, and I have no problem with the multiculturalism.
Right.
I enjoy it. I enjoy getting to.
But a lot of people in your neighborhood who aren't as open-minded and tolerant left.
Good. And the problem is what?
The problem is, in time, they say, no, this is ours. We built this. They came here because they liked our ideas, and we're not going anywhere. They're the ones that are going to have to change. This is ours.
Yeah, like the damn Germans in the late 1800s.
But that's, I'm not saying that's the right thing. I'm saying that's the mindset.
I know, and I'm saying, like, why should libertarians associate with such a group of people?
Why should they?
Why, yeah.
Because the question then becomes,
I'd rather befriend the immigrants.
If the immigrants want to institute political change in the political process through laws, through Sharia courts, through cultural laws, through blue laws like we have here, if they start changing society in that shape, or they don't assimilate and they try to want to be separate, like with their own Sharia court systems where mm-hmm. they can behead their sister because she was going out to the nightclubs, there's going to come a point where the societies are going to clash, and they're going to say, you're wrong, I don't like this anymore, and it's my way or the highway.
But when you are in the bounds of the United States, you're still beholden to their laws, no matter what your religious exemption. You can't kill people. Like that's
you can't always kill people, you just get prosecuted.
Yeah, that's a false argument. I mean, you can do it, and people will kill people for any variety. I might kill Christy for those chicken fingers. They look really good. So what'd you get? Chicken... Tachos, me too. I already had tachos, so you're safe tonight. But to me, that's just fear-mongering. Like, that is... in Tammany Hall's era...
It's tribalism.
When they get off the boat at Ellis Island, Tammany Hall would say, Irish, come over here, be our friends. And that's how they built a political machine, whereas the Anglican, the more Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, WASPy people were going, oh, these Irish, we can't hire them. And eventually the Irish became white people, right?
And then presidents like the Kennedys.
Yep. Right.
The rum runners.
So...
They assimilated, though.
The argument against multiculturalism, every wave of immigrants that comes in here is...
There isn't an argument against it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying that if the majority of the people don't want it, that are subjected to it, have the have the political majority and the power and
right.
the guns and the access to the socioeconomic ladder, they're going to say this is the way it is, and if you don't like it, get out.
Well, I mean, Bull Connor sure didn't like those meddling Negroes sitting at lunch counters. So should he have not? He should have. Well, this is just the way that it should be. We should just keep blacks from voting because it makes us feel uncomfortable if they do that.
No, but I'm just saying that's what the actual issue is.
Right, and I'm saying we should say to the alt-right and to these old cracker conservatives and these Trump voters, I'm sorry you're uncomfortable with brown people and white and non-white people, but get over it. Like, your feels don't matter. Like, you're making the argument that I can read off of a Klan page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're making that argument. I'm saying that's the argument that most Trump voters have. Well, they came in here
to took our
jobs. It's
covert. They don't want to say it out. That's the thing is there's a lot of hidden pride and enjoyment for these people that, it's the Beech Grove Walmart voter.
Right.
And,
greetings. I would like to take this opportunity to tell you a little about the loyal white knights of the Ku Klux Klan. And hopefully dispel some of the lies told about us by the liberal news media. Let me start by addressing the repeated falsehood that we are a hate group. Let me assure you that nothing could be further from the truth. We do not hate any group of people. However, we do hate some of the things that certain groups are doing to our race and our nation. We hate drugs, homosexuality, abortion, and race mixing. I lost my... this is red type on black. It's very hard to read.
That's a horrible website.
Yeah. I can't believe the Klan can't hire a good graphic designer. Because these things go against God laws and they are destroying all white nations, but rather than focus on hate, we try to focus on the love of our race. We try love for our
love
Lord
for
and
us.
Savior and country. Our goal is to help restore America to a white Christian nation founded on God's word. This does not mean that we want to see anything bad happen to the darker races. Sorry, Harry. We simply want to live separate from them, as God intended. And then Leviticus is quoted. It is simply a fact that whenever these races try to integrate themselves into white society, the society is damaged eventually, perhaps destroyed altogether. So they are not evil, they're not hateful. They're just trying to uphold their standards.
Preservation. Conservationists, right. If you will.
Right. They're... I mean, doesn't
cultural
that,
conservationist.
Anytime I hear a conservative try to argue immigration, it ends up sounding just like that.
Well, it is like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm glad I'm not crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to get someone that is supporting Donald Trump to come out and be like, you know, it's his racism, but he does it the way I like it.
Yeah,
that's what it is. But they're not going to say it. It's covert. They're not going to be like, God, I tell you, just feel that racism. It feels kind of good, you know?
Right.
It's but that's what's going on.
Harry, can you please come sit up here? I'm not kidding. I need you on stage so that way people know we're not racist. Just in case. I will say, I said, I forgot to write down accomplice because I always just say hey, because people that generally help us out like Harry, I try to give them a comp. And I said, oh, I forgot to write down the comp list. The only person that gets in free is the black guy. He'll be the only one. True story.
It's funny, though, because you're not racist. If you were racist, that joke would
not
be funny.
I don't see Harry's color. I don't see his dark black walnut skin.
Walnut?
Mahogany, I mean. So, I mean, Harry, please, I need you to come up here now. It's getting bad. It's starting. You went out tan. That's like skywriting at night. Why did you go tanning?
Well, I didn't go tanning. Lacey and I went to the pool, and I started to read a book, and I realized, wow, I'm tanning. This is what tanning is.
But I bet you have a farmer's tan, because you're the whitest black man I know.
No, see, look, it goes all the way up.
It goes all the way up. Did you cut off your sleeves like a true Terry Labonte fan?
No, I have sleeves. I just didn't wear sleeves when I was reading my book at the pool.
All right. Well, what book are you reading? W.E.D. Boys?
Actually, no.
I'm
reading
two
different books. I'm reading Spontaneous Order, and I'm also reading another one.
Is Spontaneous Order about atheism?
Spontaneous Order is a book on anarchy. Yeah.
Did you know that atheism is a religion, Harry?
Yeah, pretty much. Some atheists take atheism to like a religious standard. Of course, most statists, most authoritarians take that to a religious standard, but and they happen to be atheists. So yeah.
All right. So let's get back to the subject. When you talk to, I just want you all to notice I'm touching Harry. Mm-hmm. Not racist. When you talk to, let's say Republicans over 50, what's the feeling? What's the vibe that you pick up?
Very warm, very welcoming. I don't get a racist feel from it.
Okay. When you go to the NASCAR races, how are you received?
Very like open, very welcome. They want to show me. Like,
we got one!
Selfie!
I do get that. A lot of like, oh my God, there's a black guy here.
Oh, you know who did that to you at a Young Americans for Liberty event? This asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, Harry's here. I'm going to get a picture from every angle with Harry in it.
Did that.
So much diversity here.
First time I met everyone from We Are Libertarians, and yeah, I'm in like every YL photo. Everyone.
I know.
I didn't do that to you, Harry.
Yeah.
I never did.
Thanks, Greg.
I have two black friends. I'm going to use them.
And that was, like, the event was pretty cool because like, I never understood the impact that white people feel when someone throws out that the term of racism. You're a racist. I never understood that until I sat in a room full of all white people being not coached but educated on how to deal with being called a racist. Just how to deal with it.
So you had never enjoyed your black privilege until that moment.
No, I have enjoyed my black privilege pretty much, especially when I have to walk around like Hallville or something like that at night.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. I enjoy that. Most people leave the 6 foot black man crack. Alone. Just don't buy crack. Crack's expensive. Crack's
when
whack.
You're going to get your 40s. Right?
No. I drink scotch.
Yeah, wow. he drinks Glenlivet, and he drinks Macallan 18 year.
He's very.
But if I do, very sophisticated. I'm drinking a Bell's Too Hearted right now. No. But
I'd love. Can I get one of those, by the way? Yeah,
make
Thank
that
you.
Too, please.
Thank you. You're the best, please.
So you never realized that, like, white people take that seriously. Like, if you call us racist, it does, like, it really agitates.
To some white people, it is fighting words. It's like, how dare you? Right. How dare you call me a racist, you know?
Right.
It's, you know. It's,
I know Harry Price. I am not racist.
But that's just how some white people are. Yeah. They just get very, like, and they should be, like, because they're being, like, called something they're not. They're being, like, people are adding on this gigantic baggage of who they think they are on top of them. And it's very hard to try to fight something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that the alt-right reaction, I think that's sort of what you're saying, is it's a reflex that social justice warrior and people on the left use that as a smear campaign for so long.
The guilt and the apologies are
right. Right, that now the pendulum swung back.
Yeah, it's pushing back ten times harder.
Some of that is, like, I would have wanted to, like, some of the... like the birth of the alt-right, right? A lot of that came from the huge, massive fight of Gamergate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those soldiers from Gamergate have formed into the alt-right. A lot of them didn't. They thought they were liberals.
Explain what that is.
Gamergate was a gigantic outcry, a fight of ethics in journalism. The gaming community thought they, for the longest time, felt like they weren't getting the right story being told. And this one time had to, like, just kind of, they finally, like, a couple different catalysts, people pick different ones, but the most catalyst is, like, when people start coming after them and it's explaining, like, you're just racist, you're sitting in your mother's basement, shut up and buy the games. And this is coming from their media, and their people are getting, like, favors for items or sexual favors for better press for the different games, and they finally had enough of it. And they had a fight against their own gaming press to get any type of, like, just to even show, like, what they're doing is right, because, like, even, like, the regular mainstream media was sitting there trying to paint the Gamergaters as just terrible, women-hating misogynists that live in their mother's basements. But these are the men that are buying the $60 games, that are buying these AAA titles, and, like, they're fueling this billion-dollar industry. Like, how can they do all that and just live in their mother's basements? They must have some cash.
So you're saying that the gaming community, the established gaming community, the people that were in the press of the gaming community, were calling the people that they were, basically, like, their clients, the people that they're writing for, misogynistic, racist, all that kind of
and
stuff.
And hatred for not liking their type of games that they think that the SJWs thought they should like, or having the inclusion that they thought they should have, and just being like massive lies and trying to inject things into the community. Like, well, there need to be more women programmed. There are tons of women programmers out there. You know, there's tons of women in tech. Well, I wonder if most people are like, well, there's not enough women, and there's like just tons.
Sure.
Tons of them. They're just not, like, front stage people. But a lot of them do a lot of the background stuff. And
right. A lot of literary critics who say Harry Potter and Twilight are an abomination.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, they should be reading Moby Dick. Well, the market doesn't want to read Moby Dick. The market doesn't want to read Jane Eyre. They want to read Twilight and Harry Potter. And thank goodness somebody they're reading. So it's sort of the same thing. It's like the ivory tower people.
But the alt-right saw
it. The market gives you Justin Bieber, not Mozart.
Right.
You know, it's the unfortunate
Mozart
part.
Sucks, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so the alt-right developed out of that. So
They joined.
They showed that if these memes have power. Getting on Twitter and going after and showing proof and showing that the regressive left, how wrong their ideas are.
Yeah, they're
and
tyrannical.
Showing them that they are themselves, like, you know, when you're using archive data, it's like, who got that popular? It was Gamergate. So when the alt-right does it, like, look what they're saying. Look who these people are. You know, that lens was focused. That started with Gamergate.
Okay, so here's an example of tell me if this is what you're talking about.
Okay.
So I'm on Facebook about a week ago,
mm-hmm.
and as I always am, And I'm scrolling through, and I see a local black female Democrat post that her people should vote straight ticket. Or she just wrote vote
awesome. Thank
straight
you.
Ticket. Now, of course, she meant Democrat.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, because me being crazy in a public forum, I thought, well, they want my opinion, so I'll give it. And I just basically...
Well, pure leader.
Right. And so I gave my opinion, which is that straight ticket voting is stupid voting, and that if you're voting straight ticket, you're uninformed.
And the two-party system is rigged.
Let me tell you
and
something.
And the Fed.
If you go on a Black Democrats filters. Facebook page and you call them uninformed
oh boy.
As a white man, that didn't go so well for me. Right, Harry?
Welcome
you
to the
didn't
club.
Change
me
your
too.
Profile
me
picture
too.
First?
Right.
Did you yell it from the front porch while you sipped your mint julep?
No. Ironically, the leader of the Bash Chris Spangle movement was a white Democrat by the name of Wilson Allen, mm-hmm. who I like. I like mm-hmm. Wilson. And so he started calling me a racist. You weren't listening. You weren't blah, 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 blah. I said, no, you guys got on there, and she... Eventually, she goes, well, your argument's irrelevant. And I said, why is my argument irrelevant? She goes, because you're a white man, and so I just assume
male.
That you think I'm an idiot. And I said, I don't know you to be an idiot. I know Wilson. I know he's an intelligent man. Just because my skin is white, it doesn't mean that I think that black people are unintelligent and dumb. In fact, if you listen to our podcast, if you go read the latest review of our podcast, we are... Democrat plants who just are Black Lives Matters social justice warriors.
This because pleases me so much.
Because we had on Richard Samuels and Daron and talked about, you know,
well,
what it's
I wasn't
like
on
prison.
Those episodes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you didn't hear those.
Something but, suddenly came up.
So
I'm the Law and Order host.
So because I was white, they didn't see that I am an ally of 70% of what these two people think, mm-hmm. I'm just not a Democrat. Therefore, I am Donald Trump. I'm just a racist white
Wrong
man with a uneducated opinion that doesn't need to be listened to. I need to be thrown out of Democratic helicopters.
I get that too.
Is that the reflex? Because it pissed me off. It was like, listen, I'm.
I love like, you people.
I love all of you people. I have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I have so we've taken photos together.
Immediately, you tagged
several
Harry in a reply,
dozen
didn't you?
Photos.
Harry, get
Harry.
In here and save me.
Yeah.
Right. So no, but
not
that's
gonna say the jingle.
Yeah.
Racism insurance.
But it was clear to me that because I am not a Democrat and I'm not on
their team.
And it's not a black Democrat thing, because libertarians are exactly the same way. We're the quickest to purge out people that we think, 90%, I can't handle being only 90% with somebody and vote for them. So I'm just not going to vote.
Did anyone
moron.
Even like...
But that reflex makes me want to go,
you
well,
just
fine.
Described Harry, by the way.
I know. Harry can take it. Harry can handle it. He's a big boy.
Yeah. I'm pretty big. But I get down Democratic pages, too, because I'm
not
a Democrat.
I called him a boy, and you didn't say a word.
Yeah. So we've done enough racism tonight.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be against the alt-right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's feeling good, isn't it?
That's a good point.
It's feeling good.
But you've got to see where they are.
I know.
They've been wanting, like, most libertarians wanted a pure candidate. That's what they wanted.
Sure.
You know, myself, I'm, when I get in that booth, I'm going to sit there, pull the lever for Vermin Supreme. I want my freaking free pony. You know, and it's what I want, you know. But you
isn't
know,
that a wasted vote, Harry?
No, I'm going to get a pony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I want my pony. But I get that on Democratic pages. It happens, you know, because you get accused with wrong think. But you have to understand,
pages.
Like, those people who don't like Gary Johnson, they're actually, just same like that episode I had with Paxton and all them, is that it's having that Thanksgiving dinner with that new family member that got married into the family, you're going to talk bad about that person mm-hmm. until you really get to know that person.
Until they prove.
Yeah, prove it. You know?
Sure.
Show us your worth. Show us what you can do, you know? If your tactics work out, cool, awesome, you know? They'll eat humble pie, and they'll sit back in the back, and they'll probably still make memes, but they just still want to see it. Just like, you know, like, oh, great, Jessica brought, you know, what's-his-name over again. keeps saying he does stuff with those.
Guess who's coming to dinner, am I right?
Yeah, guess who's coming to dinner, basically, yeah.
So once upon a time, Jeffrey Tucker wrote an article about brutalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he quit.
Yeah, so basically he left the
Mises Institute.
Mises Institute and went and did his own thing because...
The Misesians.
The
Misesians. You so rightly told me.
And the brutalists, generally in the way that they handle things are... Like, if it bothers you how William Weld and Gary Johnson are being treated, the person that bothers you, that's what Jeffrey Tucker was describing as a brutalist. Versus, and so he...
The alt-right are brutalists.
And so he made the alternate argument that we need to be more kind to each other, that we need to be more less divisive, and we need to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
Which the word inclusive sent them to the moon.
Yeah.
The other side. And so then that's how these brutalist groups got started. And that was the descent of us into meme hell. But
or heaven.
That yeah. group, you've been redeemed by memes.
I've never felt more at home.
I have been baptized in a group of rare Pepes. No, please no share. So you... Do you think that those brutalist groups helped contribute to the formation of the alt-right, too? Because you guys are in a lot of those Facebook
Absolutely,
groups.
Absolutely, because I've seen a lot of libertarians become libertarian nationalists.
Harry, why are you sighing?
Because I saw that, too, and it's just like, how did that happen?
How does that make sense?
Now, are these people for real?
Because anything on the internet I take
not
as...
No, for real. So, like, here's the thing you guys have to remember. All these people are voting for Gary Johnson.
No,
everyone
no,
we're talking about
no, they're
is,
not all
yes,
voting.
Yes, they
yes,
are.
They are.
I
they
don't
are.
Believe
they
you.
Are.
You have
they
to realize
are
you're talking
Gary
about
Johnson.
Anonymous online trolls who are just going
to
say the most
that
outrageous
love to watch
shit
the outrage.
Attention.
They love it.
Yeah. Yeah. They may vote five times. Three of them is going to be for Johnson. Two of them is going to be for Trump, just a troll. But they're going to vote five times.
They're leveraging racism in order to get a political outcome they want. They're sick to death of SJWs. They're sick to death of being blamed. Mm-hmm. They didn't own slaves. Why are they supposed to feel guilty about it? Mm-hmm. Why did they commit original sin when they haven't done anything wrong other than being randomly born white?
Okay.
They didn't
and
choose
male.
To be born. Yeah, white male.
Right. Cis white male.
Yeah, cis white male.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. But yeah, like that's the point. So like, and all this is they're sick of they're the one, they were born with original sin because they had no choice to be born, how they were born, what sex they were born, what color they were born, or where they were born.
All right, so you're saying that these guys that Hillary Clinton came out and tried to tie to Donald Trump due mm-hmm. to their racism and their racist memes, which it's all done ironically, but again, I go back to the argument of how ironic, you know, oh, I'm wearing a Klan outfit to be ironic. Like, there is legitimate racism inherent in these memes and bigotry. And you're saying that the reason that is the case is because it's pro-Gary Johnson, that they're pro-Gary Johnson, so they're trying to tie
right.
white nationalism to
That's what
Trump.
I was trying to explain to you about Hans Hermann Hoppe. That's why he's the philosophical foundation of this movement, is that he doesn't believe that there can be coexistence between people that are collectivists and people that are individualists in mm-hmm. any harmonious society unless there is a way to protect and keep them out from infiltration. That's why he says physically removed, you know, Democrats and communists should be physically removed, so to speak.
But why, like Milo Yiannopoulos, the guy that they all revere, whatever.
Mm-hmm. He's a tool.
Right, but he's voting for Trump.
No, but he's a puppet for them.
He's
so,
he's taking advantage.
He's their homosexual, sure. born of a Jewish family, fundamental Christian, Republican. Guy willing to go out and say whatever. And so he is a messenger for them to go out and spark outrage in order to get people to say, you know what? Well, if there is only a human race, how can anyone be racist?
But here's why I don't necessarily...
There are cultural differences, but there aren't racial differences.
Right.
So I was reading a book called The King Years, and it's like a summation of these three books by Taylor Branch on the civil rights movement. And in Parting the Waters, they talk about the freedom rides. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking these 7-hour bus trips, and there was one trip planned from Birmingham, I think, to Jackson, Mississippi. 7-hour ride. And the Kennedy administration worked out with the local officials, the Alabama governor, and all the civil rights groups that there would be one bus trip.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was fine with that. All right? No stops, not stopping for the bathroom. We're going to take this one trip and you will make your statement, but we're going to make it as safe as possible. Now, the kids, who were the legitimate college students, were like, no, we want to get roughed up because that's the greater statement. We want you to act as if nothing is happening. So because they were disappointed, they organized a second freedom ride, which violated the terms of the truce amongst all the different groups, from the Kennedy administration to the local governments to the state governments to the civil rights groups. And so all the left, all the liberals, all the progressives, all the conservatives and church groups, all the natural allies, everybody abandoned them because it was a provocation.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Luther King and several others came out and said, listen, we're not, you know, the Kennedy administration basically said, we're not going to encourage provocation because if you are a nonviolent movement inviting violence, then that is an inherical, the New York Times called it a logical fallacy at the mm-hmm. time. So I don't see the value in using provocation to try and foster political discussion.
Well, they're not going to be the,
there isn't all these any. Guys are doing is they're trying,
they're shitposting memes on the internet.
But they're using divisive tactics. But they're using divisive tactics. But see, that's, you're writing it off. They're using divisive tactics, and divisiveness doesn't do anything but divide. So what's the value of this? Any of it?
There isn't any. That's the whole point.
Well, there is, because the, you know, ultimately the movement has to, it's going to be something, right? So they're getting, the Republicans getting their butts kicked, right?
Yeah, everywhere.
A Ted Cruz conservative can't win,
nope.
Right? So that brand of conservatism's dead. A Northeastern moderate, never going to win, like a John McCain, Mitt Romney type. And so that's why a guy who isn't really Republican or conservative has been able to come in and dominate the race sheerly out of shock and awe and, you know, being different and being a quote-unquote straight shooter or perceived to be. And so ultimately it's about the rebirth of a party and a movement, I guess, in America. But libertarianism is really that movement. Libertarianism is the natural, I guess, rightful heir to the death of conservatism. It will replace what was standing in the way because it's really the last man standing and it's the only one with momentum.
And it most naturally fits with the upcoming generations.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, then so the long-term fight that we're going to face is the Bernie Sanders democratic socialism and libertarianism, Gary Johnson style. But that doesn't mean this fight isn't going to get ugly. And so when you go into a fight, it's a war. It's, you have to have people willing to be at that go to the wall first. And the nice thing about having the alt-right is they'll do what we don't want. What yeah. we think is counterproductive, is divisive, will actually be harmful when you're trying to broker negotiations and coexistent outcomes and make meaningful political change in a society. That doesn't mean you don't need the threat of the rabid dog standing over there ready to, you know, come marching down in headdresses at Elizabeth Warren's next fundraiser. I mean, it's like Martin Luther King had the rabid dogs. Everyone has the rabid dogs. Every movement has the people that are inside, in the cause, that are the civil disobedient, you know, leaders of change. They don't provoke. They are, you know, they're always
kind.
But
yeah, Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam had foundations, ideologies, firmly held beliefs. It's not nihilistic. It's not, well, it's just we're going to have a good laugh at this.
Right. But the alt-right isn't nihilistic.
He just said there's literally no point to it.
There isn't. Right. The whole foundations of it is that there was a time.
Piss off.
It wasn't because we were white that the institutions and the cultural norms and the way we structured society, it wasn't because we were white that it functioned better and people were more free. It was because that's the way that societies are structured that are the most free. And so doing that, it gets labeled racist because it's a bunch of white people saying this is what we need to go back to when the times were good.
Well, yeah, legitimately yeah. saying some, I mean, they're...
Just because white people came up with it doesn't mean it's racist.
Correct, yeah. A bunch of Scottish people came up with it and they just...
Some
and
of
it
the
started
means
to
I see
a
racist.
Out. But no, yeah. But the thing is, it just started to spread out from this one area.
Right.
It's just how it is. Just like the Roman Empire just spread it out from this one area. It's how it is.
An ideology and an idea takes shape because it's either superior or you can dominate and conquer.
Yeah, just like the internet, just like cars, everything. It just starts with one person coming out. Not inherently racist where whoever started it, just had, that's where it started. That's where the spark started. But just like Greg was saying, they're prepping for a war, and a war that is happening. Mm-hmm. The war is also
war's imminent.
Yeah, war's also happening on the left as well. They're having a huge, massive problem. They just sat there and labeled a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters, the Bernie bros, as these misogynists. And they thought they were liberals, and they thought they were fighting on the same cause as everyone else on the left. And they just discovered that these people are their enemy.
Bernie was anti-corruption, not on a team.
Right.
His supporters were legitimate. They believed in legitimate, hope and change.
Yeah.
And rooting out of corruption. The Democratic Party has an agenda, and you're a team member or you're not. Mm-hmm. And so that's a coming war. But the end game is libertarianism versus democratic socialism.
Right.
And it's not here yet, and it's going to take time because we'll be in our 40s and 50s when a war eventually arrives. But that's the question that will shape the future of America for the next 200 years is, are we democratic socialists like Europe, or are we people that believe in negative liberty, the rights, when the Bill of Rights, what the government can't do to you, and the idea of, Americans are the people who fled Europe to go forge their own path, and they didn't need the government guarantee or the safety net because there's like an adventurous spirit in our blood.
Sure.
And so that will be when we're in our 50s, probably what it comes down to. And that the alt-right is a necessary weapon of that war, because the real, the people that are going to be leading that conversation can't dare be in the same room as the people that are doing this on the internet right now.
Right,
but it doesn't mean they don't need to have someone that strikes strikes fear in the heart of the left.
Mm-hmm. Calling them on their crap.
Yep.
Showing them when they are wrong, when they trap themselves like, well, we didn't say that. We didn't do that. Yes, you did. Here it is. Here's the proof. Here, I'm gonna make so much fun of you that I'm gonna get 1,000 shares and let 1,000 different people see that, I just made fun of you.
Have you seen Eight Mile?
8 Mile?
This is funny. This is why it's relevant.
You mean the Chris Spangle story?
Yes. Yeah. So in 8 Mile, the final rap battle in the shelter, he's going against Papa Doc.
Right.
He goes up there, and what does he do instead of making fun of Papa Doc? He just makes fun of himself. I am white trash. My best friend's name is Cheddar Bob. It just makes fun of himself completely. That way Papa Doc has nothing to do. That's what the alt-right is.
Right.
They're just saying, yes, I'm a racist, bigoted homophobe. I just came here in a headdress, and I'll probably go suck 3 guys off in the alley. What would you like to say next?
Right.
And so when they don't fear you anymore, it takes away their power to use the collective, what society thinks about you. Mm-hmm. Because now there's nothing. They don't care what you think anyway. Yeah. And they might just come back and throw it at you. And so now what do?
Right.
Scream racist louder?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk policy. Let's talk history,
we got past that part.
Right. Like, most socialists don't want to talk about Venezuela eating the zoo animals,
Now, it's not going to necessarily be an effective political tactic this election. Never be. And that's why it's smart by Hillary.
It's not an effective political tactic, because we don't live in a society anymore where, we used to get criticisms of, your podcast, there's just not enough. We need more podcasts out of you guys. Now it's, they're 3 hours long. So there's some sort of weird shift that has happened over the last 4 years where people's attention spans.
That's the whole meme generation.
I can't even finish a point without him. Yeah,
I need a We Are Libertarians Vine page, so it's just quick,
right?
Few 3 seconds,
right?
Podcast executive summaries.
Yeah,
a black guy would want a Vine, though.
We're truly going to get to in the next 10 years.
No, it's going all to emojis.
Sorry,
yeah, it's just emojis. Sorry. I'm just gonna stand up here and write emojis.
My brain went to the SpongeBob caveman meme when he did.
Right. There can't be intellectual discussion, because even if you raise the idea of intellectual discussion, it's we managed to do
the mainstream media helped with that.
You
think about it, they dumbed down the debates. Yeah. Even the debates between candidates.
Who say that
the
again?
The mainstream media have dumbed that to the to all political discussions.
Yeah.
Ross Perot, he got popular and went after them because, here, I'll bring a chart up here. Let me bring some facts. Let me bring some figures. Oh, we can't have that. Charts are against the rules now.
You and your numbers,
right.
Ross.
You can't have numbers. And can you imagine that in this day and era? This debate is interactive.
Right.
Here, click. This is my sources I'm citing. Click here to learn more.
Yeah, patriotforum.org.
Exactly.
Don't even get me started on.
Libertarians are the worst about that.
I can understand the alt-right a little bit more in the way that you've put it. I understand that. Can I still hate white Christian conservative baby boomers? Am I allowed to do that?
You can hate whoever the hell you want. I don't care.
I mean, you can always hate your parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother topic. Yeah, that's why I've been in therapy for a year.
No, I mean, I guess it's what's the point of the alt-right? It doesn't know yet. It doesn't know yet because there's no movement for it to be attached to. That's, I mean, libertarianism's rising. It's growing. It's by no means the, and to me, it's the logical heir and replacement for the death of conservatism because it is no longer capable of solving society's problems.
I'd prefer the libertarianism not get attached to alt-right.
I don't think
at
they
all.
Will.
You don't have a choice because they're libertarian.
Right.
Yeah. But you can't, all right, when he said nationalism, you sighed. Why was that? Because can you be a libertarian and a nationalist at the same time?
Of course.
Yeah,
I don't agree.
Let's
go to our ANCAP correspondent.
I don't know if he's labeled as an ANCAP.
He's
but,
a capital
so
shill.
So ANCAP can't be labeled as an ANCAP. I fucking hate you people. I meant the ANCAPs, not the...
make sure you clear that up.
But I sighed because it's like...
Black and yellow was
to
not
me,
a right.
To me, like, that's like the opposite journey most people you should make in your journey of libertarianism. Or when you actually, like, delve into a lot of the knowledge base, a lot of the books that are there, like, how did the heck did you end up at being a nationalist? You know, to me, I went down that road and went straight anarchist. That's where I went. I was like, wow, the idea is to get rid of government. That's the goal.
It is the goal, but not
that
for
is,
everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's the assumption is everyone arrives at the same endpoint and the same logical conclusion.
Yeah, I almost sighed. I was like, I'm almost disappointed that you ended at that point. Like, it's fine that you ended up there. That's your journey. You made it. You took the journey that you wanted to take.
It's
that's
like
where
the logical difference between, say, like Trotsky and Marx versus Kim Jong-un. Is that communism was inevitable. It was inevitable that society would be overthrown, the state would wither away, and we'd all work in a society where from each according to their ability to each according to their need, and man would harmoniously get along.
Sure.
The reality was the only time it actually ends up working is when you're a nuclear rogue nation that holds people hostage and puts people in labor camps and has to force it upon everybody.
Is that working?
With a secure border.
It only works because of the special economic zone that China has. And that's the only reason that's keeping that whole train alive.
That's the thing. And so like that's the difference is that, you know, to assume that libertarianism is no borders or that means no borders. Sure, that's great. I agree. I would love it if everyone logically reached the idea that they are a voluntarist and believed in voluntary interaction with every person they met, everyone they tried to buy from, every element of their life. Human existence tells me that's not going to happen because there are always competing ideas.
Yeah. We almost need a border to keep them out, to keep the collective out.
And that's the point like of Hans Hermann Hoppe.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. It's like what China's special economic zones. Their border exists to keep the Communist Party out.
Yep.
But, see, nationalism is... That you're
better. Superior.
You're better. Your nation is superior Tribalism. Because you live in these imaginary boundaries.
Right.
And that nationalistic pride immediately turns you into... It removes your individuality. I think the Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers football player, said, I'm not going to honor the national anthem because there's black bodies in the streets. I don't think that my nation and that flag and that national anthem represents me.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to honor it. And instead of... people on the right going, yeah, freedom. He should be able to do whatever he thinks is right. It's his conscience. He should exercise that freely.
That's what makes
a
country great.
That does not reflect me whatsoever. Instead, you're getting from the right our supposed allies. Oh, he just hates this nation. He needs to love this imaginary border and this piece of fabric. Like it doesn't make sense. Like he should have the freedom.
And if you're
consistent in your ideology, he should be allowed to say, that flag doesn't represent me. In fact, the whole idea is stupid, and therefore I'm not going to participate in this ideology.
Well, his interpretation of the idea is similar to yours.
Right.
Nationalism isn't anything other than just another ideology, right? So it's just an ism. And it can mean that you believe America is in American exceptionalism because it is a constitutional republic with guaranteed protections from government rather than like common law in Europe or France and Great Britain, where there is no constitutionally backed protection. So it is just years of laws, and like there's nothing explicitly granted to you that the government can't
no
do
freedom.
To you.
But I don't think that libertarians who believe in individual rights and individualism should argue for a system that inherently will eventually use jingoism to force people to pay for wars, to pay for superiority, for anti-libertarian ideals.
Right, and that's the thing. It's state worship, right? So it's like a religion.
Right.
But there's nothing inherently bad about nationalism. It's just what people project onto it.
Sure.
So, like, if you say, I love America because, you know, the Muslims hate our freedom and we need to deport the Mexicans and build the wall and yada, 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 that's nationalism. You know, you're using nationalism just simply because they're projecting those ideals onto it. You can project the same ideals of libertarianism onto a country. Mm-hmm. You can say that we are a libertarian republic because that's this. You know, it's a minarchy on a grand scale, and those are the ideals we subscribe to.
Right.
And so there's no, it's not neither right nor wrong. It's just an element of the system we have. And so, you know, I think we need to get better at using these things. That's part of the reason I celebrate it a little bit, is we stand there and say, but it's about peaceful, it's like the coexist sticker. Like, nobody likes the coexist sticker. It makes you look like a pretentious snob, and you probably don't go in neighborhoods where they're going to rob you.
I got a coexist operating system sticker.
But yeah. yeah.
The operating system.
So Linux, meaning Windows, Linux, Mac.
Linux, you know, Mac.
You but like, that's the thing, is like these,
OpenBSD,
you know, everyone is for, you know, free borders and open trade until it's in your neighborhood and they look a little bit different.
Right.
You know, but libertarians can do a lot better job of using, like, you know, you don't have to just, bashing nationalism isn't going to get you anywhere. Americans love America. The ugly American isn't a bad thing in America, and it never will be.
Have you ever had a neighbor in your apartment complex to cook kimchi or curry?
Not in my luxury apartment, Harry. No.
With all his chin.
That's why we keep the rent high. Okay? It's no speed bumps and to keep the ethnic out.
I do love the no speed bump thing. That is
isn't that
awesome.
Nice?
That is nice.
Yeah, I almost hit like 4 kids a morning.
Yeah.
I still feel like you hate the alt-right.
I do.
Because you don't know what the purpose is yet.
No, I get the purpose. I just think it's ridiculous.
It's blowback.
I think that any time that you are putting out into the world something inauthentic and that is just noise, like, I think it's funny. I think a lot of what you guys post in chat from those groups, it's humorous. Mm-hmm. So if your goal is political satire, then they've nailed it.
That's what they're doing.
Well, that's what it is. So, but
political satire.
If your goal is political change, then not as much.
But first you make fun of it, and then it becomes taboo or like, oh, God, who would believe that, you know? And
right.
Then
or normalize. Normalize. Because like the baby boomers would think what you're doing up here and what we're doing up here is, psh, look at that alt-right libertarianness. That's all that is.
Right.
Unmatured. And it's like raw state. That's all it is. Now, the libertarians, we can mock it, we can leave it alone, or we can join it. Well, yeah. Not really join it, just touch it, poke it. Let them understand that, because a lot of them are like, are voting for Gary Johnson, or liberal, or people who thought they were liberals, couldn't stand voting for a Republican, and they're just like, well, this feels right, this kind of goes against who I hate. Why don't you go in, you know, and just talk to them.
And if you look at it from the 10,000 foot view, you say, like, ideally, libertarianism just works, everyone adopts it, and we can just get rid of borders, and we'll all peacefully, you know, live in harmony. But then the other reality is, oh, God, what if that isn't the case? What if we do have to have borders as almost a test lab to see if it actually, you know, people can exist and you have to try it out first, you know, and get used to it? The reality is you're going to have borders before a mass of people can take over a political system that's democratic and overthrow it. It needs time to be cultivated and given time to adjust and adapt and change and grow, like the Free State Project, because if it doesn't, then you'll never have anything take off, and we're just sitting around waiting for everyone to have a sudden epiphany that, oh, I'm a libertarian.
Yeah.
And the reality is, when you have entrenched interests like Social Security, a welfare system, the thought that you're just going to have the, I don't know, you're going to be willing to just say, you know what, I'm going to give up my retirement and my health care in my elderly years because I'm that principled.
Right.
That seems like a very long way off.
Yeah, I guess I just, a person who works in comedy, can't clearly identify that it is irony and political satire immediately. Like when Andy Borowitz posts something or The Onion posts something, that's good satire and irony. That is using humor, like the one that I posted on Facebook today where, you know, your Aunt Deborah, you know, lovingly posts about war crimes on her Facebook. Like, that makes you go, oh, wow, yeah, that's true. My aunt's, you know, my aunt wants to just, she just speaks with that. Like, this, it's just not necessarily good then, because it comes across as this is what they believe, which is racism, bigotry, nationalism, division. Like, I'm not going to even wink at any of that because I don't believe in any of that.
Yeah.
So what is the point of saying we should embrace these guys when, if it is political satire, it's done poorly because it isn't executed in a way that people, you know,
the difference
there's
is,
a reason that well, we that you guys share the memes in a private chat and not on your Facebook pages. You're different. But you know what I mean?
But the thing is, like, how do you think the people did in the American Revolution thought about, like, the people at the Boston Tea Party?
Yeah.
Those rabble rabbles.
Sam
got
Adams, not John.
Yeah. Those people who got freaking drunk at a bar, like, hey, you know what? This is what we're going to freaking do. We're going to get drunk. We're going to find the first tax collector we find, and we're going to just tar feather the crap out of him.
Right.
Or like, hey, man, I got this great idea. We're going to get drunk. We're going to put these, like, freaking costumes on, right? We're going to throw some freaking tea, and, like, right in the harbor at the world's biggest tea party. Watch this. It's going to be hilarious.
Which there is something to be said for, you know, the guys in the tavern getting drunk, tar and feathering a tax collector. Ruin it for the John Adams, the Sam Adams, the, you know, the people who are
not really, because they ended up winning.
Incredibly brilliant and thoughtful.
But they ended up winning, and they were the ones that remembered anyway.
Right.
So they're—I mean, there's necessary evil. Like, they're not going to affect us. I mean, I wouldn't get real close to them and be like, "Hey, we need the alt-right caucus and the Libertarian Party with a, you know, a swastika." That wouldn't be ideal.
Ironically, it's okay. They can have it.
But I mean, I wouldn't go that route. But I also wouldn't. You know, it's something new and different that's going on, and it's better to understand it than it is to just be like, "Oh, what a bunch of idiot white supremacists," when they're also going around saying, "Yeah, but we're going to vote for Johnson." We just might want to throw some Mexicans over a wall we didn't pay for.
I do think that a large, at least a third, would you say a third of Trump voters over the age of 50 are white supremacists?
It's the
75% of his voters over the age of 50.
I think it's a lot of people still feel like,
let's just say under 50.
I think
52.
If you're on the right, you feel like this is the right, this is what America is. This is what America was founded upon. This is what we do. This is how we do it. And this is what is right.
Personally, I think
that's
those
right,
white supremacists
leader.
Are voting for Hillary.
I think
I'm going to speak the truth, and you'll all have to just acclimate
to
it.
No, they're voting for Hillary because they want to see the degradation and destruction of the black race. The best way to do that is, hey, let's pop them full of EBT cards, welfare, so they don't do freaking nothing. Put them in underfunded, crappy schools so they don't graduate and do anything with their education. Ha, 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 ha. Was the best way. And then
that's
we can,
a good impression.
And then
I
we
felt
can
like
control
I was
where
in
the
Alabama
heck they are because of Section 8 housing. It's like, hey, we can force them to be in this one crappy area. Right here, and those white people we don't like, you know, the Irish, we can force that too. We can put them here in this trailer park, right to freak here. Who does that? The freaking Democrats do that, not the freaking Republicans.
Sorry. I think the Republicans do too. Like, it's I don't see
it's two ways
difference.
To the same end,
right?
One, you create a foster dependency, the other one, you give them no equality of opportunity to get out,
yeah. We should probably start wrapping up. Yeah. I didn't see Bowers anywhere. I was going to have him. I don't know if he wants to be associated with the show, but
he was here. He's
around
out.
Here somewhere.
Yeah,
but if we see him walk back in, I'll call him up. But Harry, thanks for joining us. You're basically on the show, so you know the deal. If you want to wrap up, if there's anything that you'd like to share with the audience.
Not really. Like, I'm working on like a few like different projects and stuff like that. Nothing like ready to show out though, because like I'm running low on parts. So if anyone's got like an old Linksys crappy router laying around that they don't really need that works, you know, find me on Twitter at God's Foot or on Facebook at Harry Price. Find me on Facebook. I need some old crappy Linksys router for a project.
A Linksys router.
The old Lynx is the old blue
dude
one.
Comes on a national talk show and asks for routers.
Yeah, if you can get me, so yeah, it's just, that's what.
Sounds like a handout.
Loey's looking for
if
the free routers.
If you want to donate to this awesome project, can't tell you what I'm doing.
Would you like to enlighten us on this? Would you like to share details? Maybe the approximate location of said project?
I kind of like to let some of the Ernest Hancock kind of let some of the cat out of the bag when I was on his show. But it's more of just like an idea to like I want to put out a bunch of different small routers around the city to see if I can how hard it is to like how many stuff I need to track a MAC address around the city of using a Wi-Fi signal. That's kind of what I want to do.
All right, so Tyler,
I am not going to try to locate you via your MAC address as you travel the city.
That's basically like God's eye in Dark Knight. But
every
with
time
a router.
We have yeah. Harry on, I get more and more creeped out. Not by Harry, but just the power that people like Harry have.
Yeah, like, he always goes five steps too far telling you what he's going to actually do.
I know. I feel like I don't know how many nude photos of me you have, Harry.
Oh, you know he hacks your
easily
your cam.
I know. Have you?
Yeah.
No comment. Okay, great. You send him to Christy. Yeah. I wonder why she was busy in April.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, Tyler. Final thoughts.
Wow. We went over quite a bit, but
there's a lot here.
I know. I think we touched quite a few bases. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Thanks for participating.
Well, thanks for having me, and hopefully I don't get an FBI probe, you know, knocking on my door tonight after the beginning of this.
Yeah. You'll get a probe, but I don't know if it's by the FBI.
I might like
Christy's
that.
In town. She's got a car full of guys. She doesn't need you, she said. To beat it.
Yeah, all right.
A harem.
She's got her own harem.
Oh, wow.
So, and relatively handsome for libertarians. So you guys are a nice-looking group of people.
I can't see it.
One might say articulate and clean.
Yes. Greg?
Tyler wasn't done.
I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Whatever you want.
If you try to find me on Facebook, you can't because I got drunk and changed my mind.
Tad Weston.
Yeah. Anyway,
dankest memes in town.
Spiciest.
Occasionally. I've been slacking.
You really have. You've been quite a disappointment.
I've been kind of laying low.
I know. But you finally went out with us this past.
I celebrated Jeff's birthday.
Friday
night.
For Vivert's birthday.
You did a little dancing.
I did a little shimmy.
I missed the white man overhang, which goes something like this.
Well, they weren't playing a lot of hip-hop out there at the Raskeller.
Yeah, with Polka Boy.
Yeah, I know.
Caitlin.
Neil Diamond.
Our good friend Caitlin Kopetska came out, and she was like, they started playing Polka, and she goes, what is this shit? Said, I invited you to Polka Boy, not Beyonce Boy. So she was disappointed that they didn't have hip-hop. And they played whitest music you can imagine.
Greg? Neil Diamond.
Yeah, Neil Diamond.
It was good time.
Let's see, did anything big happen today? Oh, no. I guess Willy Wonka died.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. He'll be missed.
Yeah, I don't know. I
feel like we should have peppered some Blazing Saddles quotes in here.
Oh, no. Did we really have to?
No, we...
My God.
Well, I do feel like you are day by day becoming more of a Black Lives Matters Bernatarian.
Probably.
You really have gotten to the point where you hate everything on the right, even if it looks like it's on the right.
It's because people on the right celebrate divisiveness for some reason. And I'm not saying that people on the left don't, because the people on the left, their policies and the words that they say are about inclusiveness. Their policies create dependence and divisiveness, which I'll explain in my ending. People on the right,
cultural destruction.
People on the right seem to have picked up this mantle of segregation in society that I don't get. That to me doesn't. If you are a person that loves liberty and freedom, and you are a Christian, it is impossible for you to celebrate segregation and divisiveness because it's the exact opposite of love. You know, if you.
But I don't think anybody's calling for separate water fountains.
Not yet. I mean, but we're heading. I mean, you can't look at the rhetoric that comes from Donald Trump and not even Donald Trump, but the people who imitate Donald Trump poorly, the people that are his supporters, the people that are in these chat rooms, they have the same language as that Klan website. And that, to me, is
actually
the
worse.
Exact opposite of what liberty and freedom and love are all about. And so I don't see any value in liking or affirming anything that those groups have to say, because it morally is objective. I object to it.
I guess my silo isn't full of the really, I guess, the ignorant Beach Grove Walmart voter. I try to filter those out.
Left over from my I should get off Facebook because I'm like unfollowing 10 people a day.
Yeah, and so I guess I don't see that side as much. Like I see the satirical humor and like with the libertarian nationalists and you know whatever. And I think I find it funny. I find it funny because it's I don't believe in sacred cows and neither do they.
I'm with you. I'm iconoclastic like that. I think it is funny. Like HHH Removal Services.
Like
Facebook
throwing
page.
Bittner out of a helicopter. Hilarious.
So do we want to throw Bittner out of a helicopter?
Yes.
But we're not, you know, not publicly we're going to say that. I mean, privately, we dream about it. We strategize about it.
Yeah. No. Depends on the day.
But you see, like, as in terms of what, there's the joking part of the show, and then there's the intellectual part of the show. Mm-hmm. And the joking part, we'll throw Bittner out of helicopters. Excuse me. The intellectual part of the show will not. I will not allow myself to associate with people who, like people who are the Beach Grove Walmart Trump supporter, people who are actually racist. I grew up around those people. Like I grew up. I won't get into details, but I grew up around those people, and I just
close?
Find it distasteful. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's though that, like, if you're looking for non-racists, it's going to be hard.
Sure. Everybody's a little racist sometimes.
Well, everyone's like, sure that their group's
I look at it
right.
as if they're not joking, then they're seriously messed up.
And, right.
But even though they're seriously messed up, I support their right to have that opinion, even though they're batshit crazy.
Like
and
the
wrong.
Klan guy that sat down and wrote that.
Oh, yeah. He's
serious.
Yeah, but he used red ink on a black background.
He's basically trying to keep it a secret.
Right.
He feels so guilty he chose the worst colors.
Yeah, he's running DSL in a mobile home. Somewhere.
I really should give you guys that website. It's hilarious.
No, it seriously was. It was.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I mean, you're going to find racism, and that's, you're seeing a rise, I guess you could say, of racism, but what you're seeing is cultural elitism.
I don't think it's a rise. I think it's just a vocal minority is what it is.
I think the racists are more comfortable saying it on their Facebook page now that they have a champion.
Well, yeah, and you're talking about
they
anonymous
feel good. There's,
websites
there's
as too.
There's coverage now.
Right.
Someone hit back and it felt good, and they looked around and were like, oh, God, wait a second.
The right, the Tea Party crowd is sort of who I'm talking about. The Tea Party crowd,
they don't get on Facebook. I have no idea what
you about. Go to these Tea Party rallies and you hear what they say, and you go, wow, these people actually believe that. It's just racism. I mean, it's...
Like, what specifically, though?
I think the argument for illegal immigration is not grounded in economics for most of the Tea Party crowd. It is about multiculturalism.
Cultural invasion.
Or in cultural invasion. It has to do with brown people. And in
language?
Like, to me, I have no problem with multiculturalism because it eventually becomes part of a culture. And... if you're finished, then I will tell my story, which leads into this. But
no, I'm just curious because I can't, I don't understand it. I guess because I'm just still blind to it coming from the right. But like you know, like with the cultural assimilation, it's not that I'm for it. I want everyone to assimilate. I don't want borders. The problem is the reality of blowback, and that's what we're seeing in Germany and Europe right now.
Sure.
And so, like, that's my concern always is that sometimes your principles can get you in the damnedest situations possible where you get the alt-right and you get Donald Trump and you get white people saying these brownies are wrong.
But the problem is in France with multiculturalism, to uphold the freedom of expression of the French people, they ban burkas, burkinis. Like, how stupid is that? Like, so we can wear whatever we want. We're going to ban your right to wear whatever you want. That makes no sense. That's illogical.
Yeah, you become what you fear.
Right.
Yeah, but that's if they actually have the right to wear whatever they
want. So I mentioned I really love Marsh chicken salad. Have you guys had that? It's really good. It's like the best. Marsh chicken salad. Don't get the fancy stuff. Get the plain white stuff that's $7.99.
Not the premium?
Not the premium. You don't want to mess with a roasted chicken salad. It's not as good. Although, if like me, towards the end of last week, you get the day-old chicken salad, it's going to be a rough night. I'm off chicken salad for a while as a result. But the closest Marsh to me is down the street, and it's in the heart of this Chin group. And the Chin come here from Burma because they're persecuted religiously. So the Chin, they're Christian people who are being violently killed and attacked by the Buddhists. I'll let that sink in.
And
if that's not an argument against voluntary and spontaneous order, then I don't know what there is.
So
the Buddhists were slaughtering them.
Right. So the Chin come here, and they walk off the plane with the clothes on their back. They literally have nothing. So they're living in, and I'm not like, this is literally the environment in which they grow up and they live. They live in very tribal groups and crowded cities, very low quality of life. And then they come to America. And so you're living in a house with probably no plumbing, probably no electricity, and you come to an apartment on the south side of Indianapolis, and all of a sudden you're getting coupons from Bed Bath & Beyond. Oh, look, maybe they give us a free pillow? I don't know how this works. How does the Fresh Idea card work? How does, you know? And so you're thrown into a society with very little help, and it's very confusing. And so over the last 9 years that I've lived on the south side and I visit that marsh, 95% of the time that I go to that marsh, it is Chin people because there's such a huge population there. And actually, Fort Wayne is the third largest population of Chin. Wonderful people. They're, if you talk with them, they are the most polite, nicest people you can possibly think of. And so I'm standing in line getting my chicken salad this past week. And it's like the fourth time that week, because I ate a lot of chicken salad. And what? And
is this Tuesday?
Yes. I'm going through a pound of chicken salad a day. You do the math. And I'm standing there, and I'm just watching, you know, the immigrants. And I'm guessing they're immigrants, because none of them speak English. And they are using
EBT cards. Don't you wish you had an ID card you could check?
Yeah, if I had some the papers, please. They're using their EBT cards because they're all on benefits. That didn't make me mad. What started off the anger was what they were buying, because to me, like, if you're living in a place like Burma, you're probably eating a lot of fruit, vegetables, a little bit of meat. You're eating like great food, and then you come here, and now you're getting tasty cakes and ice cream treats and white bread and, like, you know, it's like, don't eat like Americans, please.
It's called assimilation. You got
assimilation,
you gotta get fat.
Yes, assimilation, because we're all getting huge, and they're paying for the EBT cards. And the only interaction that I ever see these folks have are with the awkward 19-year-old cashier who can't be bothered to look them in the eye because they want to look at their phone. And then they go from their community that they've gathered here to the marsh, and then right back. 100 years ago, the way the private charity worked is that a family of immigrants that moved here would have the international... So I was talking to my grandma last night. She grew up in the Depression, and I asked her about the Columbia Club. She's 88. She said, oh, yeah, your grandpa used to go to the Columbia Club all the time, which is a major meeting spot on the circle of Indianapolis here. I said, well, what did he go to? Oh, the Saratoma Club, the International Order of Odd Fellows. And she listed off like 7 or 8 different charitable groups that my grandpa was a part of, most of which don't exist anymore. Saratoma Club was to help children and people that needed eye donations. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the 1950s and 60s. And those groups, those private charitable groups like the Shriners, International Order of Odd Fellows, the Masons,
Optimists, Kiwanis,
to church organizations, charitable organizations, they would take care of immigrants and the poor. And the benefit to the immigrants and to people like my grandfather was immense, because that's how you got a breakdown of multiculturalism.
Absolutely.
You had people in need coming to established Americans saying, I'm a new American, I don't quite understand your culture, how do I navigate this? Let's connect on a human level. Meanwhile, my grandfather got to know a lot of people who were his age, and he got to bond with other established Americans plus the new Americans. And you had this system of private charity that took care of people, and it was built on human connection and human empathy and filling human need. Versus now, because we have ceded that ability to help to the government, people are now going in and swiping a card, and they're never interacting with what I'll call established Americans. These new Americans don't... I would like to have a conversation with them. I'd love to interview somebody who is an immigrant to this country who's been here for, you know, a few years to hear their perspective on the American culture when it's a culture shock when you first get here. But I don't have inroads to that community.
You know, a lot of it's the breakdown of churches and cultural institutions.
Right, but,
and, yeah.
But what I'm saying is the war on poverty and the rise of Republicans and Democrats empowering the government to take care of the poor and do this charitable work made it, it killed off the Lions Club, the Shriners,
yeah.
And it made churches anemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it juvenilized the Christian church. I don't know about the Jewish faith or the Muslim faith, but you know, in terms of the Christian church went from social justice, true social justice, of the Saratoga Club and making sure kids have proper eye care.
Yeah, there were hubs for communities.
Give me 10 steps on how to overcome my anxiety this Sunday. And we've done ourselves a great disservice by basically what Harry said. You know, you have the Democrats robbing us of those opportunities, and the Republicans are totally implicit in all of it. So I think that multiculturalism is good, but in the way that we have it set up now, where we have siloed off communities, and the way that Europe has embraced it, where they try to segregate communities into ghettos, that's bad. You know, that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
So we rob ourselves of those human connections when we empower the government to take over the responsibility of human beings to take care of each other.
Yeah, and most people don't look at it as they were robbed of an opportunity. It's that they were they've assuaged their guilt.
Sure. Somebody's taking care of those people.
Yeah. When I pay my taxes, they're good.
It's not...
I don't need to look them in the eye.
I had this life-altering, you know, my friend Michelle, her family adopted African immigrants.
Why are you looking at me?
And...
What'd Tyler call him?
I can't repeat that on stage. My friend Michelle, she's like the nicest person. She's a social worker.
No, I called the entire continent.
He called all African immigrants and all of Africa...
not the immigrants, I said Africa.
Right, Africa is a shithole. I've never seen this girl, never mad. She was going to kick your ass. She said, I'm going to slap you. Because Tyler trolled the shit out of her.
And then he clicked at her.
Right.
No,
so,
I did not.
All right, well, we need to wrap up, but...
you guys are awful.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
That's why I am a libertarian. I believe in genuine human connection. Trying to connect with... I'm insufferable to be around, but I like to connect with people.
That work?
Thank you all for coming out and connecting with us. Even you, Paul. We appreciate you being a faithful listener. Thanks to everyone for coming out. Thanks to Morty's for hosting us. Thank you, Tyler and Harry and Greg, for being on the show. And thank you all to our audience for coming out. And thank you to Avery, who helped us get it set up tonight here at Morty's Comedy Joint. Please, if you're in the Indianapolis area, come out and visit Morty's. They are great friends of our podcast, so they are great friends of you. And we just appreciate them so much. And we appreciate you for listening. So if you found this interesting or enlightening, or entertaining, then please share with your friends. That's how we grow. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us every month for drama and suspense.
And memes.
A political podcast unlike any other. Join us for We Are Libertarians Live every month at Morty's Comedy Joint in Indianapolis. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com/live.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.